Welcome to In the Limelight with Clarissa Burt, international media celebrity, supermodel, and renowned beauty and lifestyle expert, as well as founder and CEO of Enveloper, multimedia platform for women, and sought-after inspirational speaker on women's issues. You'll connect with Clarissa's super influencer celebrity friends and experts as they speak about health, wealth, beauty, lifestyle, business, the love of giving, and the love of living a model life. Now, here is Clarissa Burt.
Hello, everybody. It is Clarissa, and I am here in glorious Malibu, California. I have got to tell you that every once in a while, just coming out here from Phoenix, where I live, and just sort of hanging by the beach that I see but never get to as I drive by because the traffic out here is killer, but it is a beautiful sunny day, and I'm really thrilled for that. As I'm thrilled for the guests that I have on today's show, we're going to be talking about how they help alleviate pain in very different ways. And first of all, let's thank A-Rod because he's always such a superstar over there in the studio in Phoenix. He makes me sound much better than I really am. And I want to thank him and Voice America, as always, for this opportunity. And so without all that being said, let's get started with Brian. He has been on the show before, and he's a good friend. He lives out there in Phoenix where I do, and we've met at a couple of different networking events along the way, and I just love the guy. I love his style. I love what he does. I love how he does it. And these are kind of some of the unsung heroes that I feel really need to be on the show. I like to showcase and highlight people that are doing amazing things in the world for other people. So with that all being said, hello there, Brian Ponciano. How are you doing?
Hi, Clarissa. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome out here in beautiful California. And I wanted to, sort of just let everybody know, my listeners love hearing stories about people who, maybe didn't have the easiest of beginnings themselves and who take that and harness that, the energy and the, the good vibes and just, turn it into something totally amazing. I mean, to look at you, Brian, you're a big burly guy and you've got, you're all, amazing, fabulous style. I mean, you're very approachable and extremely friendly. But if I were to look at you, maybe on the other side of the room, I'd go, whoa, I don't want to be messing with that guy. Cause you never know. Right. To know you is to love you. You're the biggest teddy bear on the planet. And, I was reading your bio, which by the way, we have to talk about because it's so typical, Brian, of people that are amazing human beings that do some really great things in the world. And you say, okay, send me your bio. You get three little sentences that basically, because you don't like talking about yourself, I guess. I don't know what that's all about. But you came in from Guatemala. You're the oldest of three kids. And let's take it from there a little bit.
Yeah, I'm the oldest. My parents are born and raised in Guatemala. So I'm 100% Guatemalan. And I was born here in the States, but I did grow up in Southern California in the Los Angeles area. And we grew up in a very poor neighborhood. Everybody that I knew around, most kids around didn't have their dad. Most kids were in some type of social welfare or something. My dad was always too prideful for that. But a lot of our friends I knew, they were on those type of services. So I grew up extremely poor in those areas. I was surrounded by drugs and gangs. And I remember seeing gang fights in my elementary school. So it was definitely a different type of upbringing than what you would think when you see somebody doing what I'm currently doing now. But it's something that I think taught me a lot about myself, taught me a lot about what not to care about what people think. It's surprising that even in those scenarios, even with everybody doing as bad as they are around you, you still care about what they think.
Yeah, how did you do that? That was obviously the next question is, growing up in that kind of an environment, it would have been so much easier, I think, to go down the path that, everybody else was going down just so that you could be like cool and like all the other kids and not be bullied and maybe even worse. So what were the deciding factors in your life that, that made you not go down that path?
Luckily for me, I had very involved parents. So they were very involved in everything that I did and they wanted to make sure that I didn't go down that road. I mean, at the end of the day, it's an individual decision. And I saw the light. I saw these people. They were always angry. They were always fighting. I remember having a friend growing up, and one day he was just like, man, I wish somebody would just bump into me because I'm angry and I just want to start a fight. And mm-hmm. and to me, it just kind of seemed a little weird. I didn't understand that. And I knew that I was trying to fit in because that's what I was supposed to be at that time, trying to fit in and try to be cool.
Right.
But things just didn't start adding up. And then I started really realizing that I wanted to be financially successful. And I realized that at a young age. So that was something that kind of catapulted me. I said, look, based on what these people are doing and how they're acting, they're never going to be successful. And even the ones that are quote unquote successful are, yeah. are always in fear of being shot, being robbed, being
right.
Took by the police or something. So there wasn't right. any good endings to that story. And I just
so one of the things that might
that
have given you a little bit of direction, if you will, or at least was something that, you know, really kept you very curious and wanting to know more was the game of Monopoly.
Yes.
And I think that was in every American
really
kid's home growing up. So I'm kind of wondering what it was about Monopoly that monopolized you.
You know, we being that we grew up extremely poor, even board games were kind of a luxury to me. So one of the board games that we did get as kids was this Monopoly. It was like a baseball set Monopoly, but nonetheless, it allowed me to use some of the skills that I naturally had. But because of the environment that I was in, I hardly ever got a chance to show off because those weren't the skills that were praised in that particular environment. But when I got to play this game, I got to talk to people. I got to negotiate. I got to say, well, what about this? Well, how let's do this. Tell me this way. What if I give you here or there? And it just really started kind of in piquing my interest in sales and doing those type of things. But more importantly, I started realizing that there's money in real estate. And I remember growing up, my parents are from Guatemala. They grew up in a poor neighborhood in Guatemala. A lot of their friends ended up migrating over to Los Angeles, so they knew a lot of people they grew up with. And every single one of those people was broke, with the exception of one guy, Byron, and his mom was in real estate. And the guy had, you know, he started doing car sales or something, but at that point he was still broke. And the only person that we knew with money was his mom, who was in real estate. Mm-hmm. And I just sparked something in me that said, oh, there's got to be, this is the way that I want to go.
What were some of the first jobs you had before you went down the real estate path?
My very, very first job, I was 11 years old, and I was passing out flyers door to door.
Oh, that is so cute. What a cute visual that is. That's adorable. Okay. And was this in that neighborhood that was kind of scary?
Well, you know what was funny was that my parents used to work for this company that would make these magazines or newspapers or something, and then I wanted to make extra money. They were like, well, you got to work for money, so they connected me with one of the guys that drove the vans, and I was literally in cars with a bunch of undocumented workers in like a van, and they would just drop me off in a neighborhood, and they would, you know, they would kind of look out for me because I was
sure.
still a kid.
Little. Yeah.
But nonetheless, they would be like, all right, you're going to go down these streets, and here's what you do. Here's how you assemble the stuff, and here's how put them in the doors, and it was just go for it.
And you did. You absolutely did. I can see it now. It's just amazing. It's so cute to see you do that. It's adorable. So you had your first jobs and whatever, and then I think it was 11 years old or something, you moved to Phoenix with your family, correct?
I think I was about 13, 14 when we ended up moving to Phoenix. Mm-hmm. So I ended up coming here, and then honestly, I think that was one of the best things that ever happened to me. And we were talking about it with some friends. You know, Phoenix doesn't have any really bad parts. I mean, there's parts of Phoenix that are not as good. There's parts of Phoenix where bad things happen. But in the overall general sense, there's not a really bad parts in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And the part where we ended up, you know, it did have its issues. It was on the West Valley. But nonetheless, it was a lot tamer and calmer compared to what we had over there. And it allowed
and
me
certainly
to
the cost of living is much, you know,
way.
It's certainly better in Phoenix, as we all know. So it's one of the reasons why I guess we love
you
it
know,
as well.
A lot of times people say, well, I don't understand how somebody that grows up in that neighborhood wants to continue that lifestyle. But when you don't know, when you're young, everybody around you is doing it. Everybody that you look up to is doing it. You don't know that there's any other way. And you know, a lot of times, a lot of kids don't get in gangs, at least in areas like L.A., because they want to. A lot of times it's because they have to, because if you're not associated with the gang, there's a high probability that some people are going to try to rob you or take your money or punk you around or whatever it is that people do. So
well, how is it that you knew that there was another way? Because there are a lot of kids that have good parents.
When we got separated from that, it really helped me kind of clarify my mind.
Right. So how did you know that there was another way? I mean, because there are kids that have, you know, parents and that are good parents and they still go down the wrong path. How did you know, living in that environment, that there was another way to live?
Well, as I said, a lot of it came from seeing my friends, my parents' friends' mother, who was a realtor, and she lived in this nice neighborhood. It was tract homes, and they had a pool and everything else. And to me, growing up in L.A., that was like, oh, this lady's rich. So I knew that there was a different way. As I was progressing and growing in age, once I hit my late teens, I started really looking into all these opportunities. I was constantly looking on the newspaper classifieds, and I was constantly going to all these multi-level marketing companies. Mm-hmm. And most of their ads said, hey, make money from home or work from home or learn from a millionaire or something along those lines. So I was just always curious, and I knew that there was other ways out there as opposed to what was being taught to me by my parents and my society.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So you started it, you know, you started your path down, you know, finding other ways and even making money from home. But I know that you can't, you know, real estate was really your big gig, right? So how did you get started? What were the first steps that you took, you know, to start the real estate business back then? And then we'll talk about how enormous it is now.
Sure. Well, you know, the thing with real estate was that I came from an extremely poor family. So there wasn't any, I had no money. None of my parents had any money. None of my friends had any money. None of my relatives had any money. So there was really nobody that I could turn to do something, to really just start. I couldn't buy courses. I couldn't pay mentors. I couldn't do anything. So I was forced to learn how to make money in real estate with absolutely no money. And even at that point, I mean, I had very little skills. I had not a very reliable car. So a lot of it just came from working for free. So as I was going and I was answering all these ads that I mentioned to you, I saw an ad on Craigslist that said, hey, I've learned from a real estate investor. And there used to be a real estate investing multi-level marketing here in Phoenix that went out of business. And back in the day, they used to put all these ads. So I just went to a lot of their meetings. One of the time I said, you know what, I'm going to answer this ad. It's most likely going to be the same company, but I just want to see. And it ended up being a real estate investor. And he
you saw the opportunity
the
and you jumped on it.
At.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, I can't pay you anything. Yep. I can just give you an opportunity. I can give you a list of people that are going to be in foreclosure. You're going to go knock on their door. And if we happen to do a deal, then I'll pay you 25% of whatever we make profit.
Wow. That's awesome.
And that was it. I did that for a whole 9 months before I got my first deal.
That's amazing. I love the story. I do love the story. I love the kind of rags to riches story. And we're going to be going to break right now, everybody. You are in the limelight with Clarissa Burt and Brian Ponciano on the Influencers Channel. Don't go away. And we will be right back.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
I'm busy and so is my family. Leftover pizza and unhealthy takeout isn't really doing it for us anymore. Just ask my bathroom scale. That all changed when I found Freshly. For less than $10 a meal, Freshly delivers 6 meals a week, always fresh, never frozen, prepared by top chefs and nutritionists using the best, freshest, gluten-free ingredients. The best part is the menu is always new and fresh, just like the food, and it only takes 3 minutes for me to prepare breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and there's no messy cleanup and no dishes. My family loves the choices and the taste, and Freshly delivers to my home and my office, so I eat healthy all day, every day. If you're tired of the same old cardboard delivery and takeout, try out Freshly.com today and save $20 on your first order using coupon code VAH639 at Freshly.com. Your taste buds and your scale will thank you. So save $20 today with coupon code VAH639 at Freshly.com.
Are you ready for provocative discussions with some of today's most powerful movers and shakers? Tune in to The Art of Significance, featuring Dan Clark, the modern-day Napoleon Hill, who interviews the wealthiest, most successful celebrities and business leaders on the planet, who are using their influence to change the world. From authors to entertainers, sports figures, educators, to military leaders, Dan covers multiple topics. Tune in every Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Influencers channel. Change starts here. Change starts now. Join us, the Voice America Influencers Channel.
You are listening to In the Limelight with Clarissa Burt. You can call into the program at 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. Or send an email to info@clarissaburt.com. Now back to In the Limelight.
You are back in the limelight with Clarissa Burt. We're talking today with Brian Ponciano. He's out in Phoenix, Arizona. We're talking about his story and from where he came and where he is today. And obviously, to me, Brian, it sounds very much like your story is almost like a Napoleon Hill story. It was the opportunity that was given to you, knowing that you weren't going to make any money unless you put some hard work into it, which you did. So kudos to you on that. So that's how you got started.
Thank you.
And then from that very first time at 9 months later that you got the 25% of whatever that was, I'm assuming you started to take that money and start investing it into real estate?
You would think, but my programming did not work that way. However, eventually, as time progressed, I continued to hone my skill, which was wholesaling, finding these deals and selling them to investors. And then I was able to progress to actually flipping houses. And one of the biggest things that I learned was the concept of leverage, creating win-win solutions. So I learned the concept of finding investors, giving them a great return, partnering up with them on my deals. And I was able to then leverage more money than what I personally had to be able to do a lot more deals than what I would have been able to do alone. Yeah. And that was a great thing that I learned from a lot of these networking groups and a lot of these places that I did, because I had spent quite a bit of money and time in personal development and bettering the person that I am. But eventually it did lead into me flipping houses. And from there, I went from flipping one house at a time to two to four to five to I think I have 8 or 10 or something right now going at this time. And it's just a constant machine turning out these things where not only am I able to create a lifestyle that is a very laid-back, easy-going lifestyle where I'm able to travel, I'm also able to do my nonprofit, which we'll talk about here in a minute.
Right, right.
But more importantly, I'm able to create great returns for my investors. So I was able to create a win-win solution using the platform of real estate and real estate investing in particular to do that.
Right. Well, did you have some, I don't want to talk out of turn here, but I know that there was some really big event or work deal that you just invested in recently that I knew you were extremely happy about. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, actually, so it's funny that you bring that up. So what you're referring to is an apartment complex.
That's right.
So I'm buying an apartment complex, and I actually today, we've been going back and forth with the previous owner, but today we finally got everything, the contract signed and into escrow. As soon as I get done with this, I have to call my title company to connect with their title company to put the earnest deposit in, and we will be officially under contract.
Yeah, that is awesome. And you're mine for another 8 minutes,
January.
So just hold your horses, buddy. Just stay right there.
Sure.
That is so extraordinary, and this is what I want everybody to understand. It's like from the poorest of neighborhoods in Guatemala to not some of the greatest neighborhoods in, you know, Southwest LA, you said, to where you are today. I mean, I think people really have to understand, and I love to, you know, sort of keep underlining the fact that it takes work, and it takes hard work and dedication. And I think that this is a message that a lot of people, you know, they didn't get this memo, and it's a really important message that you're bringing to the table today. I'm so proud of the work you're doing. It's just so amazing. And then, you know, as if that wasn't enough, I don't know how you find all the time. You created Together We Grow Phoenix. Together We Grow PHX.org.
Yeah.
So again, Together We Grow PHX.org. Everybody go take a look at that. While Brian and I are talking about it, it is his 501c3 nonprofit organization. He's giving back to the homeless and the less fortunate out in Phoenix, Arizona. Does water drives when it's 100 and gajillion degrees out there. I mean, the guy just never stops. Brian, how, first of all, how'd the idea come? And I can imagine how, but I want to hear it from you. And how do you find the time?
Well, the idea stemmed from, as I said, I grew up poor. So did my parents. And because my dad was very prideful to not get into social help, we did tend to get help from time to time from different events. I remember at one point, I must have been 8, 9 years old with my brother standing in line in downtown L.A. because some organization was giving out gifts and my parents couldn't afford Christmas gifts. Mm-hmm. So I said that once I reached a certain level of success, I wanted to give back. And that's really where it all stemmed from. A lot of it came from my dad's teachings. When my dad passed away, he passed away at a very young age. I realized that there wasn't a lot of time guaranteed to you in life. So I decided that we needed to start this nonprofit. And eventually it started off with one event, as you mentioned, the water drives. And it completely took off on a life of its own. We've been going on 2.5 years now. We do an event once a month. And it is very demanding. It is very challenging at times. Okay. But a lot of it, I have to attribute to my board, which is my assistant, Christina, and my brother, Jonathan. They helped me tremendously with organizing everything. And a lot of it, Christina, she's just amazing at making sure that all the smaller, finer details go. I'm more of the face of the organization. She makes sure that all the little ins and outs get taken care of.
Yeah. And I was saying, I was watching, you can go also and follow Brian Ponciano on Facebook, and you'll see his Facebook Lives when he's actually at the events and the people that he's helping. And this time, I think I saw your mom there.
My mother was there, which, and what was awesome about this particular event was that we had done something similar last year for the same community. And there was a lady there who connected with my mom, and they started talking. My mom was very religious, so they started praying together. Well, this lady remembered her this year. So as soon as we were coming in, she was like, Where's your mom? And I called my mom over, and her and the lady had a nice little moment there together. But it was awesome. I've been able to, one of the things that I love the most about the nonprofit is that I've been able to help other people give back. I say this all the time, the people that we help out, whether it be the homeless or the lower income families that we focus on, they're appreciative. They like it. They appreciate it most of the time. But the people that get the most out of it are the volunteers. We just had this last event for Thanksgiving. We had 30 ASU college students show up to volunteer. And some of them were as young as 18.
Yeah.
And they had never experienced anything like this before.
That's really cool. The other thing that I think is really, really kind of a cool thing is you did win the 40 Under 40 award that was given. You got an award that was given by the mayor of Phoenix. And I know you probably don't like me even mentioning that stuff, but it's important. I think it's really important. And that's why I said, you're like, the people that are in nonprofits are really the unsung heroes. They don't get the kudos that they deserve. And this is another reason why I wanted to have you back on the show, because I know what you're doing. I see what you're doing. I want other people to see what you're doing and to help any way that they can. So let's again say
I've never been one to toot my own horn about the nonprofit.
I know, I'm tooting it.
However,
I'm tooting
I did
it.
Find out that the more that I put it out there, the more other people get involved. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, because I'm not looking for the attention of the work that I do.
But
and
you
I,
need
you know,
the
people
attention.
Reach out to me and say they're proud of me or whatever. But a lot of it is just, yes, thank you, Christina. Have a good one. A lot of it is just me putting it out there, letting other people know, hey, if you want to make a difference, it's not that hard. You just have to do something about it.
So togetherwegrowphx.org. Everybody get over there. There's also a button that you can donate if you feel so inclined. If you are in the Phoenix area, get with Brian. You can find him on, they can find you on Facebook. Any other way you want people to get in touch with you?
Facebook is probably the easiest way to get a hold of me. I'm connected on the messenger. So if you guys send me a message, it comes directly to my phone. Just tell me where you heard about me. And I'm a pretty approachable guy for the most part, as long as I'm not busy at that particular moment. Sure. But I'm pretty approachable. And if you want to help out, donate, if you have an organization that you want to team up, whatever it is that you want to do, just reach out to me. But with Together We Grow, it's a 501c3. Anything over $100 is tax write-off, and every single dollar that you donate goes directly to the nonprofit. So we don't have any employees. We don't take any money off of it. So every single dollar goes directly to either the homeless or lower income families. And if we ever have any money left over, we just use it for the next event.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm going to have you spell your name because, you know, it's not kind of the easiest. I thought it was Brian, you know, Brian when I first met you, and then I found it. So go ahead and spell it.
I'll spell out my name for anybody who wants to connect with me online. So it's a B-R-A-Y-A-N-D.
Brian, okay.
Yeah, B-R-A-Y-A-N-D. And then the last name is P-O-N-C-I-A-N-O.
Yep.
And just a quick funny story. The reason why it's spelled that way was because my mom is from Guatemala, born and raised there. I was born in a small town in Louisiana, and she didn't know how to spell the name Brian. She just knew that the neighbor was named Brian, and she thought it was a cute name.
So she kind of went phonically. You know, it was sort of just the way she heard it, and that's the way she spelled it. That's a really cool story. I didn't know that.
And you know what's funny is that my dad knew how to spell the name because my dad used to draw, so he made a drawing for my mom with, you know, my name on it. But she completely forgot when she was in the hospital. He had to work, and she just made it up, and we never changed it.
True story. Well, it's a good thing she knew how to spell your last name, or, you know, that your father could not be your father. Who knew, you know? That's funny.
Right?
I love this story. That's great. Listen, Brian, you know how much I love you, and I want everybody else to be able to, you know, I want them to know about you. I want them to know how to find you. I want them to know how you spell your name. I want them to get to togetherwegrowphx.org. Brian's doing amazing work for the homeless and for the less fortunate in Phoenix, Arizona. Take a look at him. Follow him on Facebook, his Facebook Lives. You also do other Facebook Lives that have to do with helping people, you know, in the real estate market. You do that with a friend of yours. They're very fun, and I love watching those too.
Yeah, that one's actually under the AZ Flip Guys.
Right.
So if you guys are on Facebook, you can just find us on the AZ Flip Guys, like us, and follow us. Basically, with the AZ Flip Guys, we do a live video every noon Arizona time, so every Friday at noon Arizona time, where we cover various topics about real estate. We pretty much give you all the information that gurus do without charging. We're just putting it out there, and if you join us live, you can even ask us direct questions about anything real estate related. So it's just a way for me and my friend to give back to the community, because a lot of people are interested in real estate, interested in investing, or interested in actually doing real estate themselves. So we just put out the different opportunities. We talk about our deals, our personal deals. We bring in guests that talk about different topics. Right. But it's all about real estate. It's all for free. We're not pitching anything. We're not selling anything. That's just to give back.
That's just how big your heart is. You're just trying to help everybody. You, and again, you know how much I love you. And anytime you want to come back on the show, Brian, all you have to do is shout out. Thank you for being with us. Okay, honey, you go close another deal now. You're done.
Yes, I have to go.
Go close another deal. Everybody, you are here in the limelight with Clarissa Burt. Do not go away. We will be right back.